Psalms 105, I'm going to have you read a couple of Psalms with me, a couple of verses here. Psalms 105, and I'll read, you follow with me. Verse 1, Psalms 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Now, one way we testify and praise the Lord is to express our gratitude to him personally. And that is, you talk to him. You just praise him for his goodness in your prayer time. And when you're riding down the road, you thank him and you talk to him verbally, vocally, talk to him. And people, you say, well, think I'm crazy. Well, about everybody going between here and Raleigh look like crazy anyway. They listen to the radio and they're doing all this, you know, while they listen to the radio. So you just be praising the Lord. But just pray. You express your praise to him personally. But then he said there's another way that you ought to praise the Lord, and that is publicly. He said you let everybody know. You declare it, make it known among the people. And when God's been good to you, you just praise the Lord. I found out that one of the most effective ways of witnessing is for you to just tell people how good God's been to you, how God forgave you, how God saved you, and then about God's special blessings. I remember when I was working in J.P. Stevens as a fellow trying to win to the Lord, and when I began to talk to him about the Lord, I could just see him draw up, and he just put up a big shield. And so the Lord just helped me, gave me a little wisdom, I guess, and so I quit doing that. And whenever I'd go into the shop where he was at, I'd just say, well, we had a great day. God blessed us at church, been so good to me and Regina. And I just praised the Lord about what he'd done for me. And I talked to him about some folk who got saved or people who got helped. And I wouldn't address him personally, but I was just praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for what he'd done. And God used that to impact his life. So we ought to praise the Lord personally. But you ought to praise him and thank him publicly, and that'll be a witness. But then notice over in chapter number, Psalms 106, notice what he said. He said, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Thank God for his mercy. I appreciate the mercies of the Lord. Mercy is extended to those who are guilty, those who failed. And though I failed the Lord, he's never failed me. And I ought to be mindful every day and thankful every day that he has mercy on me because of my imperfection, because of my failure. His mercy endures forever, and I ought to praise the Lord for that. But go over to Psalm 107 and notice what it said. And it said this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Thank the Lord for his goodness and for his grace. The word goodness there, as used in the Hebrew text, is the same word that's used in the New Testament for the word grace or gracious. God is gracious. And so not only does he forgive me through his mercy and not punish me or not pour out his wrath on me when I fail him, but he extends grace to me, and therefore I receive things that I do not deserve. God is so good to me. And it'd be one thing for God not to discipline or punish us, but it's another thing for God to show kindness to us. I mean, we failed him, but he never failed us. But he has blessed us over and over again. Now, having read those, I want you to go to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Last week, I shared with you just a few thoughts on the thanksgiving of Paul, and that was just from one book. Now, if you go through all the epistles of Paul, you'll find out that over and over again, he is expressing gratitude or thanksgiving to the Lord. But I want to look this morning in chapter number 15 of Matthew, and I'll begin with verse number 32, and it says this, then Jesus called the disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to feed so great a multitude? Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks and brake them and gave to disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. They that did eat were 4,000 men besides the women and children. What a blessing. Now, you say, Brother Billy, I thought he fed 5,000. Well, if you go back a couple of chapters in Matthew, you'll find the feeding of the 5,000. And so on a couple of different occasions, one time he feeds 5,000 using the same small amount of food, and then again 4,000. And he blessed those people with that little bit of food. But I want you to notice in verse number 36, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks. Will you bow with me for prayer? And I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on the thanksgiving of Jesus. Our Father, I want to thank you for your goodness to us and your kindness to us. God, you have blessed us so. Our Father, our praise should never end, and it will never end in all eternity. But our Father, I pray you'd help us to be conscious every hour of every day of all that you do for us. Our Father, to acknowledge your hand, that God, you are the one who has extended to us all these great benefits. And our Father, that we'd acknowledge your heart, that our Father, all that we have comes down from God, the Father of lights, and that your goodness, out of your goodness, out of your heart, God, you have shared so many things with us. God, I want to thank you for your wisdom, Lord, and all that you've given to us. Our Father, you've given us just exactly what we've always needed. I thank you for that. And God, I pray this morning that God, men and women, boys and girls, in the building and in the radio audience and in the internet audience, would get just exactly what they need. I pray, oh God, that you'd empty me completely, take control of my mind and heart, fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. And God, I pray you'd speak to your people and to those who don't know Christ today, and I'll give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, for just a brief moment, I want to share with you 3 occasions when our Lord gives thanks. As I thought about this picture, can you imagine this? He's holding in his hand 7 little loaves of bread. Now, when you think about a loaf of bread, some of you think about Wonder Bread, or you think about Food Lion Bread, or 7-grain bread, or you may think about an Italian loaf of bread. But now we're talking about a little lad, and when he fed the 5,000, there was a little lad there. And the bread we're talking about is not those big old long loaves. Matter of fact, it's more like a little pressed cake. It's something almost just like a little wafer or even a little cracker. It's not a great big old huge loaf of bread. It's just a little piece. You could put it in there. It was a little small biscuit if you wanted to, because it was small. I mean, it was just something small. And then these few little fishes. And here he holds those in his hand, and he gives thanks. Now, get this picture. He owns everything. He owns everything in the universe. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns everything. All the gold that's hid from men's vision in mountains and rivers, he owns all of that. All of the great treasures of precious stones and the pearls in the depths of the sea, he owns all of that. He owns all the stars and moons and planets, and he owns everything. Everything belongs to him. Not only that, he fashioned everything, created everything. He made everything. It all is his by creation. And then the Bible said, by him all things consist. And so he not only owns it and not only created it, but he is in control of it. He has access to every bit of it. And yet he's holding in his hand some little crackers and fishes, and he's grateful. He's grateful. I want to learn a lesson this morning, not to forget to thank God for the little things. Thank God for everything in your life. I was just trying to think of a way to emphasize that to my heart and your heart. I thank God that he's blessed us all so wonderfully. We've got so many friends who are sick, and we're praying for them. But we begin to thank God for all of the good things we have. How long has it been since you thanked the Lord for the moisture that covers your eyeball? How many of you have ever had what's called a dry eye condition? Raise your hand. Is that painful or not? It feels like you got sand in your eye. If you've ever had that, you know what I'm talking about. But most people never even think about that. Never. We think about our ability to walk, our ability to talk. We think about our vision. But God made our bodies so that there's a lubrication that covers our eyes. And we never even think about it. We never even contemplate that. And we miss so many times what I'd call the little things. And he who owns everything, he who created everything, is holding now in his hand some little crackers and a few small fishes, and he's giving thanks. He's thanking the Lord for that. Reminds us of the fact that he is mindful of daily provision. And so not only should we remember to thank the Lord for the little things and take note of the little things. I've shared this, and sometimes I repeat myself because it comes back to my mind, and then maybe you forgot it like I forget things. But I remember when I was pastor, when I wasn't a pastor, I was just a member of a church up in Roanoke Rapids, and we had our choir assembled just like our choir does here, getting ready to go in to sing. Regina and I sang in the choir. And our song leader, Wayne Carter, came in. He taught the junior boys. And just before they'd come in, they finished their class. He taught the junior boys in Sunday school. He had them to do a sentence prayer. And it happened to be close to Thanksgiving. And so he said, this morning, let's thank the Lord for something. And so he said, they went around the room. And this one said, I want to thank you for Calvary. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for my mama and daddy. And it came to this one little boy. And Wayne said, I want to thank you for the butter beans. And he laughed, and we all laughed. And I some years later, when I left, went to Tennessee Temple, my wife and I, I was working full time, going to school, and we had cooked some dried butter beans. I'd bought some fatback meat, and she'd cooked that, and that's what we had. We had dried butter beans for lunch or supper, and she had made some biscuits, and that was wonderful. Matter of fact, I had picked up some bottles in the back alley and sold them, and I had bought two pieces of bubble gum, and I gave them to the children, two little penny pieces of bubble gum. And I thanked the Lord for the meal, and you know what God brought back to my mind? Most of us, when we think about our meal, we think, say, what'd you eat last night? Well, we had steak, or we had fried chicken. But how long has it been since you thanked the Lord for the butter beans? And for the side dishes and for those things that are not so... And the emphasis is this, thank God for the little thing. But then thank God for your daily provision. Every time God gives you something, you ought to thank the Lord for your food. I don't know about you, but Regina and I always pray in restaurants. And I watch people who pray. Very small percentage of people actually pray over their meal. Very few, small percentage of people bow their head and ask God's blessing. In fact, it's so small that a lot of times I feel impressed to go by and say, I appreciate you praying. We were in a place of business not long ago, and there were some police officers in there, and there's three of them. They were actually from another county, and I watched them, and when they got their food, they bowed their head and prayed. And Regina and I were sitting there, and she noticed that. She said, you ought to buy their lunch. And I said, I really appreciate them praying. I don't know if I want to buy their lunch or not. So the waitress came by, and I said, will you bring me their ticket? And so they brought it, and those guys came by, and of course, she told him, we thanked him and everything. But I said, I appreciate what you do. I said, you jeopardize your life to protect us. I thank you for that. I appreciate that. Our Lord Jesus, who owned everything, had anything, created everything, keeps everything, was very thankful. He thanks God the Father for the little things. You ought to thank God for the little things. And then for daily provision. He thanked the Lord for that food. He thanked God the Father for that food and thanked the Lord for that. You and I need to learn a lesson from our Lord. That you and I ought to be thankful for the little things. Turn in your Bible, go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 8. Deuteronomy. God has been so good to us. If we're not careful, we got so many things and so many blessings, we'll forget to thank God for our daily provision. And we'll forget to thank God for the little things. Back in Deuteronomy, chapter number 8, our Lord is warning Israel about their coming into this great land that's flowing with milk and honey. And he said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes which he commanded thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt there, and when thy herd and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart is lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He said, you have to be careful that when you got so many blessings, you forget the Lord. You forget to thank him. And so when you thank the Lord for your daily provision at every opportunity when you eat, that's three times a day, perhaps for most of you, that you'll have an opportunity to pray. And even if you go through the drive-thru, pull off somewhere before you get on the road, and pray. Now, I will have to confess that there's been time I have prayed with my eyes open, and we pull out some time and we pray as we're going down the road. But just take a time regardless. Every opportunity. Don't forget to thank the Lord. Our Lord was thankful for the daily provision. And God warns us in the Bible not to forget his goodness to us. Notice in Psalm 103, I was back there close a while ago, but go back to Psalm 103 and listen to what he said. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget what he's done for you. Be mindful. Our Lord would teach us this lesson from his own personal life to be thankful for the little things and thankful for the daily provision and not forget the Lord. Understand that it's God the Father that's given to us and express our gratitude and praise to him for that and be thankful for the little things. And in John chapter 6 is repeated the story where he feeds the 5,000. And in this occasion here, you notice it picks up 7 basketful. But in the story in Matthew earlier and in John chapter 6, there's a little lad. And he's got the 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. And he gives them to the Lord. And the Lord takes it and he prays and thanks God the Father for it. And then he distributes. And when he get through, they pick up 12 basketfuls and gives it to the little boy. And listen, you think about this. God was so good. That little bit the Lord had, he was willing to acknowledge God's ownership of it. And when he did, God stretched it and fed 5,000 with it. And then there was more left over. We might learn a lesson that if we learn to be thankful for what God gives us, he might make it go further. If we learn to be thankful to God and acknowledge God, he will expand in it to go further. And we'll be blessed by that. Turn over a little bit further in your Bible. Go to the book of Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. And notice in this passage of scripture, Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Here again, our Lord is speaking. And he said this, chapter 10 of Luke and verse number 21. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for thou hast hid those things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it has seemed good to in thy sight. Here our Lord is thankful for the revelation of truth. God reveals truth to those little babies, revealed the truth of the Word of God. He is thankful for that. And my dear friend, the Bible said the natural man receives not the things of God, they're foolishness to him. But God, the Holy Spirit, reveals truth to us. And I tell you, you ought to be thankful for your daily provision and thankful for the little thing. But you ought to be thankful for God showing you the truth of the Word of God. Thank God for that. Nobody in this building, nobody in the radio audience, internet audience would be saved had it not been for the revealing work of the Holy Spirit of God. Had he not revealed to you your lostness and the fact that you couldn't save yourself, and it was the Holy Ghost of God who did that. He had to convict you that there by the deeds of the flesh shall no by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. He had to convince you that all our righteousness is filthy rag. He had to reveal to you that it's not by works of righteousness which be done, but according to his mercy he saved us. He had to show us that there was no hope of salvation except for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he showed us that he whosoever will may come, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. God showed us that. He revealed that to us, made it known to us spiritually, not in our head, but in our heart. And we trusted by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They thank God for the fact that he showed him that he was saved. I am thankful this morning that God in his sovereign purpose revealed my lostness and revealed the Savior, and I got saved, and I'm all my sins forgiven, and I'm going to go to heaven just because of the work of the Holy Ghost of God in me, and I'm very thankful for that. If you are, say amen. 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 Thank God for that. And then since I've been saved, I've been reading this Bible. And as I read the Bible, God shows me little truths in it all along, and it blesses me so, it ministers to me so. And I understand this, that it's the same Holy Spirit of God in the very beginning to convict me. It's the same one that's still showing me the truth of the Word of God now. And anything I ever see in this Bible that blesses me or blesses anybody else, it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm thankful for that. You ought not to ever take for granted the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God, revealing the truth of the Word of God to you, showing you the truth of the Bible as you read it. And he's there to help every one of us. Thank God for his revelation. Let's go a little further quickly this morning, will you? And turn over to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter number 11. In John chapter 11, I want you to see our Lord as he speaks once again here. In John chapter 11, look at verse number 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus said in this first verse that I read to you, he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He was thankful for the privilege of prayer. Are you thankful for the privilege of prayer? Are you glad that there's somebody you can go to, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need, that any little boy can pray, any little girl, any man, any woman? When you're not able to move physically, you can still pray. When you're in a dark place, you can still pray. In the sunshine or the rain, you can still pray. When you're healthy or when you're sick, you can still pray. You can pray and seek his face. Aren't you glad that because of what he's done for you and saving you, giving you eternal life and the Holy Spirit of God living in you, and he gives you the privilege of prayer, aren't you thankful for that? How many of you, my dear friend, could testify this morning, I prayed and God heard. I prayed and God heard. Will you raise your hand? Can you imagine what you're saying? Not one of you in this building, I dare say not one of you in this building, has ever spoken personally to the President of the United States. Not one. He may have called you on a recorded call. You may have got a form letter from him. I don't care who it was, whether it's President Obama, other than President. Not many of us have had the privilege of speaking to the President of the United States. But every one of you raised your hand have had the wonderful privilege of speaking to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God of this universe. And he heard you, and you didn't have to wait in line. Nobody else took precedent over your prayer. You had direct access. And my dear friend, he heard you gladly and freely, and he answered your prayer on many occasions. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. I'd hate to think where I'd be or where you'd be or where my family would be were it not for prayer. Somebody, oftentimes things happen and people try to work around, and then they finally make a statement, something like this. Well, there's nothing left to do but pray. Nothing left to do but pray. But thank God for that privilege of prayer. We ought to pray first. We ought to, first of all, prayer, intercession, giving thanks be made for all men. We ought to pray first. That privilege of prayer. Then I want to thank God not only for the privilege of prayer, but thank God for the potential of prayer. He said, if you ask anything according to my will, I'll do it. If you ask anything according to my will, I do it. You're sitting on a piece of property here, 28 acres of land, that little building across the road over there, a group of people, before I ever got here, had a vision. God put it in their heart, and they prayed. And you're sitting on this 28 acres of land right here because of God's people praying and God hearing and answering prayer. This building that you see here paid off in 7 years, paid all at debt-free in 7 years, is the answer to God's people praying. The potential of prayer. You pray. If you'll pray, God said, I'll do things. He said, if you call upon me, I'll answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God's able. My dear friend, I want to thank God for the potential of prayer. I feel a certain amount of limitations, a lot of limitations, physically and mentally and every other way. But when you come to the time of prayer, there's no limit. There's no limit. Thank God. I mean, you're not limited by your education. Not limited by your experience or inexperience. Not limited by your physical ability or inability. Not limited by an IQ or no IQ. Because it's him. And he said, if you call upon me, I'll answer thee. Thank God for the potential of prayer. And thank God for the power of prayer. I've seen it. You've seen it. We all experienced it. God's been good. I'm a testimony of what God does when God's people pray. I'm here today because you prayed. God's been good to me. God saved so many people because you prayed and I prayed. We've seen God do that. We try to be faithful to share the word of God. But ultimately, Jesus does the saving. And my dear friend, he said, if you call on me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Our Lord was thankful for the privilege of prayer. And while you're thanking God during this Thanksgiving season, don't forget to thank him for the little things. Don't forget to thank him for your daily provision. Don't forget to thank him for the revelation that he gives you of the word of God. Don't forget to thank him for the privilege of prayer, that you have access to God. You can go to him in the darkest of nights. You know what he said? cast all your cares on me. I care for you. Go to Matthew chapter 26, will you please? Matthew chapter 26. And of all the pastor scriptures I've read to you, this one to me is absolutely the most awesome. It is absolutely the most awesome scene that you can ever imagine. When we did Through the Eyes of Peter and we saw the scene of the Lord's Supper, that's a moving experience to me because I think about what our Lord's thinking about. He's not thinking about bread and he's not talking about wine. It's not what he has a reference to. But in Matthew chapter 26, I call your attention to verse number 27. Here he is instituting the Lord's Supper. He's taken the bread and he's blessed that and he's broken that and he's given it to them. He said, this is my body, take and eat. And then he said, verse 27, and he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. I leave off the reading there. That's not the end of this conversation, but it's my point of emphasis this morning. He took that cup. It was the fruit of the vine. It was not real blood in there. It was not transformed to blood when they drank it. But it was a symbol of what was about to happen. And as I thought about him holding those little fish, that little bit of bread, he who created the whole world and owned everything, and yet he was thankful. I see the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, who daily was the delight of the Father before the foundation of the world, eternal, holy, without spot or blemish, who made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a man, being fashioned as man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Now he holds in that cup, and he looks at that cup. He said, this is the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you. He's thinking about what's going to happen in a little while. They're going to take him. They will beat him. They'll scourge him. They'll put a crown of thorns on his brow. They'll beat him with a rod. They'll buffet him with their fists. They'll pull the beard from his face. They will nail him to a cross. They'll mock him. They'll pierce his side. And he said, Father, I want to thank you for that. Wow. I want to thank you. Thank you for my own shed blood. Why? Because I believe he was thanking God the Father for the purpose of his death. He said, I've come to give my life a ransom. He was willing to die to redeem other people. He was willing to die so others could live. If you were in the context of somebody having abducted one of your family members, and you were faced with the choice of giving your life to die so they could go free, you would probably do that. You wouldn't want to leave your family behind, but you'd certainly want them to live. But he's dying not for friends. The Bible said, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's saying, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm going to be able to die so sinners don't have to die. I want to thank you that I can die for them and give my life a ransom. I can die in their place. He's thanking God for the purpose, God the Father, for the purpose of that death. He is not dying as a criminal. He's not receiving punishment for things he's done. He's not dying as a martyr. He's not dying that we would follow his example of death on the cross. The purpose of his death is to redeem fallen man. I think he's thanking God for not only the purpose of it, but for the power of that death. The Bible said that through his death, we can receive life. He who died for us and was buried for us, resurrect for us, because he lives, we shall live also. Because of his death, he saw men and women, boys and girls who had no hope, who were destined for hell, bound by sin, couldn't find any joy or peace in this world whatsoever, and God could change their life and make them a brand new creature in Christ Jesus, could forgive all of their sin, place them as an adopted adult son and give them a home in heaven because of what he's doing on that cross. Thank God for that. He's thanking the Lord for that, for that purpose of his death and the power of his death. He's thanking God for that. Jesus Christ thanked the Father for that, that he was going to be able to shed his blood to redeem fallen man. I am sure glad that he did that. I am very thankful for Calvary. And while we are thanking God for the little things, and we're thanking God for daily provision, and we're thanking him for the revelation that he's shown us in the Word of God, and while we're thanking him for answers to prayer, let's never, ever forget to thank him for his redemptive work, that he died to save us. He died not as a martyr, died not as a criminal, but he died as a substitution. He died for us. He paid our sin debt for us. And he did it not only for me, but for you. For every person, the sound of my voice, he died for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ was thankful he could do that. Because he knew this. Number one, there was no other way for you to be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, if I die, they can live. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. If he died, it was possible for anybody to be saved. My dear friend, he died knowing that you'd have an opportunity to be saved. He was thankful to die for you and to give you an opportunity to be saved. He was willing to give his life a ransom to purchase you. My dear friend, he paid that sin debt. I believe he's also thankful to know that there would be many who would respond in faith. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Knowing what he was going to suffer and knowing that many of you who are in this building this morning have already responded to Christ and been saved, he looked at you through time and saw you kneel in a church service somewhere or in your bedroom or in a Sunday school class, on a vacation Bible school or somewhere where you repented of your sin and trusted the Savior. He saw that in time and was satisfied. He was willing to die and thankful for dying so you wouldn't have to die, so you could go to heaven. He's also thanking the God the Father for the potential of anybody being saved. That for you who are not yet saved in this building, he loved you and he died for you. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He was thankful that anybody could come. Whosoever will may come. He's not willing that any should perish. He stood on the mount overlooking Jerusalem and he wept. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how oft would I gather you as a hen gathers her chick, but you would not come to me that you might have life. The potential that anybody can be saved. No limitations. Any man, woman, boy, girl, in the sound of my voice can come to him today. Now the question is this, will you come? Will you come? Will you bow your heads in prayer? Will you trust Christ today if you've never trusted him? Will you be born again today? We accept his free gift. He loved you and he died for you. And on the Calvary, that old song says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. That's exactly right. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. And I wonder this morning, first of all, let me ask this, and we'll do it as a testimony. We have our heads bowed, eyes are closed, but God knows our hearts. If you're thankful this morning for his sacrificial death for you, and you have experienced that, and you know that you're saved in heaven, your home, would you mind raising your hand just toward him and just say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. God bless you so very much. God bless you. Thank you. You may put your hands down now. Now, while we're praying, no one's looking, and I want to be sure to see this morning, is there a boy or girl or man or woman in here who said, Brother Billy, I've never trusted Christ. I've never come to him. When I think about him in that upper room before his sacrificial death, him holding in his hand that represents his own blood and giving thanks to the Father that he was able to come and die, that his death would make it possible for anybody to be saved. And he was thankful for that opportunity to redeem me. I want to know that. I want to know I'm saved. And preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died now, I'd go to heaven. But will you please pray that I'd know it before it's too late? If you're in that situation, you don't know for sure you're saved. You say, preacher, I'd like to know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Let me remember you in your prayer this morning. I'm not going to come to you. Hold it up just a minute. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? I don't know what God needs to do in your heart life this morning, but I am sure thankful for our Lord. If he's thankful for the little things, you and I ought to be thankful for the little things. If he's thankful for daily provision, we ought to take time to be thankful for his daily provision. If he's thankful for God revealing things, we ought to be thankful for God revealing the truth of the Word of God to us. If he was thankful for prayer, we ought to be thankful for the privilege of prayer. And if he was thankful for his own sacrificial death, we must never, ever, ever forget what he did for us at Calvary and be always thankful for him redeeming us from all of our sin and giving us everlasting life. We have a wonderful gift here this morning of food stuff that you brought. You pray for wisdom for the ladies' circle as they distribute that. If you know, again, if you know of a family who needs some help, please let the office know, and we want to make sure we get it to the right people. But as you think about his provision to you in salvation, this abundance of food here across the front is an expression of love of God's people for people they really don't even know. They have no idea who will get this food. But when Jesus died for you, that was his expression of love for you because he knew you before the foundation of the world. He knew how you'd live. He knew what you'd do. He knew all of your sin, and yet he died for you anyway. And if you're not saved this morning, I encourage you to come. Trust him as your Savior. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him right now. If you have a burden or need, or maybe you just want to come express your gratitude by coming and kneeling here around the front, I invite you to do that just before we leave. We're going to have a closing prayer in a little while, and we'll have a dedication of the boxes. But right now, let's stand together. I want to pray, and then Brad's going to sing a song while we remain in an attitude of prayer. If you need to come, make your way to the altar now. You come right now. Maybe God's been dealing with you about church membership, about something in your life. Maybe you're not saved. I'll meet you here at the front. If I can help you, I want to do it. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, God, make it real to people's heart what you've done for them. And I pray, oh, Lord Jesus, that this morning, God, that some would come trust Christ and be saved. Father, somewhere in the radio audience, somewhere in the internet audience, I pray that our dear soul will come to the Savior and be born again by the grace of God. And Father, I pray this morning that God, oh, God, that you'd help me and all of your people to be ever thankful for the little things and for the daily provision and for the privilege of having truth revealed to us from the Bible, and God, for prayer, Lord, most of all, for your salvation and what you did for us on the cross. Make us a thankful people. Lord, help people now to respond in faith, and I'll thank you in Jesus' name.